The wife, on the other hand, she's a different story. She's not ready for them to go. But I've got plans for that room now. It's like, yeah, you know, you can leave.
You need to start doing woodworking in their room whenever they leave, just to assert dominance. They walk in, you just reply with,
Dad, when did we get this table saw in our room?
Your room. Oh, right. My bad.
Are you still sleeping in my workshop?
What? I set a cot up for you in the garage.
Hey, this is Eric Van Johnson, and you're listening to PHP Ugly, episode 58, recorded April 22nd, 2017. In this episode, we talk about what happens when inmates get a hold of the PC. Some new things coming to Laravel 5.5. Unicode characters, still a problem in URLs, and a lot more. So, let's get started. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Good afternoon. Did you realize that 58 is the lowest PGA score ever shot on record? And 58 is our episode today. Episode 58 of PHP Ugly is happening with myself, Eric Van Johnson, and my buddy Thomas Rideout. Welcome, everybody. We're here to embrace you.
I apologize for the sports trivia. I have no control over him.
You know, I'm trying to do a thing here, and I feel like it's working. I like having just a random facts about numbers. It's always sports, because sports is just one of those easy things to associate with numbers. So, no John today, Thomas. Just you and I.
I know. He's got his hands full of vomiting children, so.
Vomiting children, yes. Yes, he's just, in general, a bad parent, clearly a bad parent, because he has sick children. That's one of the things. It's like, when you have kids and your kids are sick, all you think about is, everybody thinks I'm a bad parent. I'm a bad parent. My kid is sick. I can't keep a healthy child. What is wrong with me?
That's not how I feel.
No, you don't feel that way?
No. I tell them they probably did something to deserve it. I say, think back about what you did last week. Did you do something that you probably deserve getting sick for?
Did you kiss or lick anything? Think thoroughly here.
Well, no, I know they do that. They lick everything in the house. It's amazing.
How have you been? You had somewhat of a national holiday this week, didn't you?
No, my kids did. My kids had the day off for 4/20. Didn't have school for 4/20. I still had to work.
I guess they have a little bit of history with that in that state. Huh?
Yeah, a lot of Colorado schools, for some reason, in honor and in respect for the Columbine shooting. Yeah, so they took the day off, and I got to relax later in the night.
Yeah, kind of in respect and in memory of, sort of thing.
Yeah, but that was not even a blip on my week. What a nightmarish week it has been.
Oh, dude, share. Nightmarish. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, I would normally save this thing for doom and gloom at the end, but this is the introductory part, and boy, it's been absolutely thrilling. So I told you and John a while back that my car got skimmed.
You mentioned it.
So Chase finished their review process and decided that because it was a chip and pin terminal, that it couldn't possibly have been an illegitimate purchase, because I had told them I still had my card. So they canceled the credit for $424 to my account.
Holy smokes. Was it purchased somewhere locally, like somewhere nearby where you live?
About 5 minutes from where I live, which is very fortunate for me. So the letter they sent me said, "We've thoroughly researched your dispute and wanted to thank you for providing your information. We've decided the account transactions you reported were correct." So they basically said, "Yeah, we did our research and it seems like you did buy a vanilla Visa card for $430, and you're just trying to get away with something because it's chip and pin. So I ended up calling them. I got their credit fraud support line, and the first thing they say is it's impossible to clone the chip.
Well, that's not true. We know that.
Right. So immediately I go ballistic. I grab my tinfoil hat off the shelf, put it on, and start unloading on this poor person about the research documentation from 2010 showing how the SIM card is easily compromised, the 2012 documentation on pattern repetition within SIM card transactions, and I rip into the guy, you know, eloquently, not viciously. And their response is, well, we can reopen an investigation and it'll move to our second line, guys. And I said, well, that's funny, though, because your report to me was that you had thoroughly researched the dispute. So did you actually do that? Or is that just what the paper says that you send to every one of your customers when you decline them? And they said, well, yeah, no, we just look at the transaction record. I said, you understand that the transaction record doesn't show whether or not it was a chip and pin transaction. It just shows that it was a chip and pin terminal. She goes, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that at all. So yeah, you should know that before telling people they can't have their own money. So I ended up going to Target. The next morning, I went to Target and spoke with the security manager there and said, yeah, here's my amount of my transaction or amount of the transaction. And she pulls a photo out of a binder and says, do you know this guy? I say, nope. She says, well, that's the guy that stole your credit card. Clear as day picture. It took her 2 minutes to pull up the specific transaction, what was purchased, who purchased it, and got a picture of him looking at the camera. And I said, okay, so this took you 2 minutes. Did Chase ever contact you in their research? Oh, no, they didn't. No, never did. It's like, okay, so their idea of thorough research is the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Just a nightmare. So now I've got to fax them all this information. I had to spend an hour filing a police report, giving them all the information. I have to go through this whole thing again.
And this all stems from the fact that it's a chipped card, right? Now the financial institutions have basically thrown their hands up in the air and said, okay, we've decided that you can't illegally use these cards anymore. So here, now you have to prove to us something's wrong. When somebody steals from you, you have to actually show us that somebody's stolen from you.
Right. You have to provide evidence that would incriminate you if you had performed the transaction yourself. The chip and pin security is not there to protect them. It's not there to protect you, the consumer. It's there to protect the bank. Right. And it's already known to be horrendously flawed, but they don't acknowledge that it's flawed in any way. So they just put blame on the customer first. And the amazing part is that they don't even know that it's a chip and pin transaction, because all they know is that the card that I have is chip and pin capable, and the card reader that was used is chip and pin capable. So they just say chip and pin transaction. The woman who ran security at Target told me, oh yeah, if you insert the card and pull it out 3 times, it falls over to magnetic stripe reading. 3 times. That's what it takes. You just go click, 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 and then, oh, chip's not working. Let's do mag stripe instead. Mm-hmm. So all security is defeated by inserting the card and removing it. Mind-blowing. And beyond that, there's a device called a mag spoof, which can remove the little signature that says that this is a chip and pin card. So you never even have to have the chip in there at all. Because it's just a flag on the mag stripe that says chip and pin card. So when you swipe it, the terminal says, oh, chip and pin card, you have to insert this. If that flag is missing, the card is still valid, still works just fine as a mag stripe.
That's interesting. I'm tempted to try that 3 insert theory. I'd like to see if that works, because it makes sense if you think about it from a technical perspective. It's a fallback, right? I mean, the financial institutions want you to use that card for the transaction. So they want to make sure that, you know, you've taken your car to the beach and you've gotten sand on it and now the chip doesn't work, whatever. They want right. to make sure that they give you every opportunity to use the card. That's why previously, and I assume it's still something that they can do, when your mag reader wasn't reading, your mag strip wasn't reading, they would manually put the card in.
Yeah.
I mean, is that that's still something that they do, I assume.
I know that BevMo still has the carbon copy machine underneath all their registers. So if their credit card machine is down at BevMo, they'll go and save your card on a carbon copy print.
Yeah, that's... I see this... I wonder how long this is going to go on for. It's funny you should mention that because I just actually got a replacement card in the mail today. And, you know, it has a chip on it. And the one that it's replacing had a chip on it. The one thing weird about this one is if you look at it, there's no number on the front.
Huh.
The account number is on the card. It's actually on the back.
But it's not embossed on.
And the card, No. And the card itself is physically heavy. Like, it's noticeably heavier than my other cards.
Hmm.
I don't know if this has a near-field NFC chip in it or what's going on, but there is something different about this card with the chip than any of my other cards in my wallet. This one is heavier. It seems like it might be a little thicker, but it doesn't bend. Like, it doesn't bend at all.
Hmm.
There's no bend to it. And like I said, the number itself is not on the front of the card. So that's, I don't know.
Yeah, so if you've got chip and pin out there and you tell them that your card got compromised in some way, then you should also tell them that you don't have the card anymore. You don't know where it is. It got lost or it got stolen out of your wallet, because otherwise they will absolutely deny your claim.
And they have to replace it anyways. I mean, even
right.
if you do have it on you, it's been compromised, so they're going to replace it.
Right.
So yeah, you just tell them it's not in your wallet anymore.
Yeah, tell them you don't know where it is. It must have gotten stolen. Because all you have to lose is all your money. Also, don't use gas station pumps anymore. Just go inside, prepay for an amount with your card. Don't use the pump outside.
Is that where you think yours got skimmed?
I know exactly where it got skimmed. Bad part of town, shady looking gas station. I was in a hurry with kids screaming in the back of the car and didn't do my due diligence.
Hmm.
But I'm 100% sure that that's where it got taken.
Hmm.
And they moved fast. I mean, they know how to defeat the chip and pin system. And the woman, the security manager at Target, was telling me that they've taken $7,000 a week from one card alone in the past. That these people are moving fast and hard and that it's really a problem in the area, which, you know, of course it is, because you ask the bank to resolve the issue and they say, no, sorry, go away. They're not trying to catch these people. You know, they're trying to recoup funds for themselves. That's all they care about.
I'm sorry that happened to you,
buddy. And then I pay taxes on Monday.
And then you pay taxes.
Yeah.
Oh, man, taxes. Taxes was hurt. They were hurting this year, I tell you.
I had to take a 401k loan to pay mine this year.
Well, you have a full-time job, though. You don't just get them this doesn't come out of your paycheck?
They screwed up my wife's paycheck.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is the time of year where consultants kind of really see how well they're able to project out their income, because you have to pick up the slack on, because when you don't have that paycheck that a company takes out the taxes for you, you have to pay these quarterly taxes based on your projected income. So the idea is you project your income for the year and then you pay quarterly, you know, how much you need to pay. And it's never pleasant, but yeah, this year it's a good problem to have for us, because it meant the business did better than we had anticipated. But at the end of the year, when we did our company taxes, it's like, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, so, but I found out that my wife finds it very attractive when I do adult things, like actually pay my taxes instead of close my eyes and wish they went away.
Bury your head in the sand?
Yeah. No, when I paid my taxes, she became very amorous.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah. You got something out of it, you know?
That's nice.
So you might notice I have a little better internet connection. I'm back in San Diego for the weekend. I'm heading back out to Arizona on Sunday. Still helping with the family. I had some interesting experiences. I've been in Arizona for a couple weeks. We've talked about it a little bit in the past. I don't know how much we've like told the listeners, and you know, I don't really need to go that much into it. But I mean, for anybody interested, my father has dementia, and he takes a lot of supervision to constant supervision to manage. I mean, it's like a full time job. Typically, that full time job falls on the shoulders of my sister, who lives with my father and mother, and her father and mother. And my mother. So between my sister and my mother, they care for my dad. We have nurses that come in to give him baths and to check on his well-being. But for the most part, it's my sister and mother. And I mean, it's everything you hear about with people with dementia. They forget where they're at. They forget who people are. Matter of fact, I had an unpleasant thing for the first time. My sister had experienced this already. But for the first time, my dad had kind of acknowledged that he didn't know who I was.
Ugh.
And I'm like, ouch. And he did it in a very, I mean, he's confused. He's always confused. And we're at his house. And his question was very simple. He asked me if I knew how long Eric, which is my name, how long Eric had owned this house. And I'm like, Dad, I'm Eric. So it was to be expected.
Now, before the dementia, did he have a good sense of humor? Because I tell you what, if I got diagnosed with dementia, I would be fucking with everybody.
That's I don't even have to get diagnosed with dementia. I'm planning on like around age 60, 62. I'm just going to start acting like I have dementia
just
to mess with people.
Get out of my house! Get out of my house!
So anyways, the whole reason I was in Arizona is because my mother had an accident and she's been in the hospital and my sister works. And so I went out there to help my sister with my father as well as visit my mother in the hospital and, you know, monitor her progress. She's had to go through some surgeries and stuff. She's doing much better now. Good. She's in rehab. She's still not home, which is why I'm going back out to Arizona. But she's coming along.
And you drive out there too. You don't just take a trip out. It's a real drive.
It's a drive. It's about a 5 hour drive, 5 to 6 hours depending on you know how quick I go. But it's a little bit of a drive, and it's all desert. So it's not even like beautiful scenery. I mean, some people like the desert and think it's pretty, and it is on occasion, but it's still desert. Yeah. It's still desert, man. It's like 4 or 5 hours of driving in the desert. There's just nothing that enjoyable about it. But so this trip out, I bought the house a Chromecast because my dad. He has routines. And one of the things he really enjoys is watching baseball. You guys know me and baseball. So I'm thinking this is still something we can share. So I have a subscription to Major League Baseball. I went and bought a Chromecast, hooked it up to their television, and I would play the previous day's games through the Chromecast. So my dad and I would sit there and watch multiple baseball games. He really enjoyed it, but it got me thinking about something because it's a simple user experience thing. Now again, keep in mind he has dementia, so it's hard for him to understand certain things. But the one thing that was really throwing him off was when we were watching the games, when MLB cuts to commercial, the app doesn't show the commercial. So it's just those.
It's just a black screen.
Silent. Well, it has a Major League Baseball logo up there, and it just goes silent. There's no noise or anything. That was messing with my dad's head so much because he couldn't understand what was going on. He's like, "Why is this happening? What's going on? Is the game over?" I'm like, "No, Dad. It's a commercial. It's a commercial break, and it says on it that it's a commercial break."
Sure,
but. It was like just one of those user experiences. And I know I'd actually messaged MLB for years about this. And I noticed this year on when you're watching a game online, like through a web browser, they don't go silent anymore. They show highlights or they show goofy things.
Huh.
So they've put fillers in there. But for some reason, when I Chromecast it to the television, those highlights and all that stuff weren't there anymore. And it was just like one of these weird user experiences. Like, I sat there for a second. I'm like, yeah, you know, that is annoying. You're absolutely right, Dad. I agree with you. And it messed with his head so hard. He's like, why is this broken? Like, no, Dad, it's not broken.
Yeah, so, you're already introducing a new enough piece of technology, and then it just goes quiet for 5 minutes. Yeah, that could be annoying.
And that's the thing. It's like, I'm hoping my sister, because a Chromecast, I was bouncing back and forth, and I still might change my mind between the Chromecast and a Roku. And then, honestly, I went Chromecast because it was cheaper. But I'm hoping I can teach my sister how to use it, because it's beneficial for her to throw a game on so Dad can watch it. But then she could use it as well as to watch movies and stuff. So I'm hoping maybe I can teach her. If not, I might end up buying them a Roku still.
Rokus are okay, nice.
That was a lot. Yeah, that was a lot of backstory, I guess, that we did.
I like it.
I got a question for you.
Absolutely. Fire away.
I do have a question for you. This comes via a Twitter. Somebody messaged me on Twitter a question, and I have an opinion about it, and I gave him my opinion about it. But I also told him I would ask on the show. I wasn't sure if John was going to be joining us. I said I would ask the guys. But SEO companies that specialize in quote-unquote SEO.
Yes.
Do you have an opinion on that?
Never before have you seen a more wretched hive of scum and villainy than the SEO industry.
I take it you don't agree with it too much?
I agree with it. There's clearly a need for it, but it is really the practical application of gaming the system.
Yeah.
And it creates so much crap to deal with. You know, it's important to know how to meta tag stuff, how to make your site accessible for the handicapped services that Apple and Microsoft use. It's important to have alt tags on your images. You know, that kind of stuff is important, but then you go past that and SEO people start saying, well, we've figured out the tags that you need that aren't exactly related to what you do, but they pertain to the market you're targeting. The SEO people can be absolutely the worst people. Now, there are some good ones out there. But there are so many that say, well, we can get you up 3 ranks by putting a link to your page in our 500 site rotation of garbage domain holdings. I remember when domain names were just, you know, if you bought a domain name and squatted on it, you just put a price tag on it and said $200. That went away. Now squatted domain names are advertising cycles for SEO engines. They use them.
You're absolutely right.
Assholes. That's what an asshole does.
That was kind of my opinion on the whole thing. Like, I've actually never been in a situation to be a legitimate company and to be far enough along where you need that sort of specialized service to get you that extra tick of traffic.
It's real money. I mean, it's real big quantities of money being third instead of fourth.
Right.
I don't disagree with that.
But again, that becomes a very niche market, right? Because everybody thinks they need SEO. It's like, oh yeah, I'm launching my site. No. I need SEO. It's like, no, you don't. You need to see how you do on your own.
And not
you
for what they cost basic, either.
Right.
For what they cost, you can spend that money.
Stuff out there.
You can spend that money right back into your business and make the business better instead of more popular, which isn't a real metric.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like they don't do development for you. They don't really do anything for you. They kind of – like they might put you in you know, one of their – like you said, one of their landing pages or something, or They might give you some recommendations, but they don't do a whole lot for you.
You want some deep, dark secret information?
Absolutely.
The whole thing's a big circle jerk.
You think?
I know. I worked for one. And here's what happens. I worked for a guy, and one day we were just shooting ideas back and forth, talking about future projects and stuff. And he said, "Hey, you know what? Let me ask Bill about this." Pulls up Skype, clicks on Bill something, whatever. I'm trying to come up with a name that didn't immediately sound racist. It's hard to come up with non-racist last names. Smith, Bill Smith. And they had a conversation about, hey, we're doing this. And he starts spilling the beans about what I would have considered secret information about our company. He starts saying, yeah, you know, the next year we're going to be doing this and this. We're going to be launching this. We're going to be launching this. How do you guys do with that stuff? And he says, oh, yeah, I remember last year we launched this. This year we're going to be launching this whole new thing. Da-da-da-da-da. And after that phone call, I was like, who was that guy? He said, oh, that's this other company. I said, they're our competitors. He said, nah, not at this point anymore. So what do you mean they're not your competitor anymore? They're a different company that does the same thing. He said, yeah, but we all do the same thing and we all share all our information. We have a meetup in Aspen every year and we all hang out. Dude, it is SEO.
What's the purpose of that?
They all share their money. It's a circle jerk. They move customers from one of them to the next guy to the next guy. When a customer finally says, I'm sick of this version of what you're providing, then that guy's burned, right? But they go to the next guy, and the next guy provides the exact same service, has the other guy on his Skype call list. They hang out weekly. They go to Aspen every year and hang out. You're not choosing between SEO companies. They're just letting you think that they're all different companies. They're not.
I came home from Arizona. It was Easter last week.
Ooh,
and I got a fresh bottle of Lagavulin. I just broke the seal right here on the show.
You cracked that. I'm going to grab myself another Lagunitas.
Look at this. The seal's intact.
That's gorgeous.
This is my favorite part.
Put it up to the mic.
This first pop.
Oh.
I hit the mic. It probably ruined it. Oh, man. I do love this stuff. Just pour a little bit. It's been a long day.
Yeah, so these SEO guys, they all know each other at the higher level, at the executive level. They're all friends. And none of them are the good guy. At best, you're going to find lawful neutral among SEO people.
Do you remember Web Rings?
What
you're telling me makes me think of Web Rings, where you would link to somebody's site and somebody would link to your site and you would link to somebody else.
It's awesome. It's like that, but imagine if the mafia ran adult websites. I mean, stretch your mind as much as you can.
Well, we should probably start talking about some stories here.
Should we do news and stuff? We're gonna trim this. We're gonna trim this down.
Okay. I want to talk about the first one because I'm curious about your intake on some. So, in the news, and we go through. We have our show weekly, so we kind of go through. We're always kind of plugged in, reading articles. This one came across my wire, and this one fascinates me. So this is gonna sound weird, and I know this going into it, and I know I'm opening myself up to all sorts of jabs about it, but I'm, like, addicted to those shows that show you life in prison, like Locked Up and, you know, any of these, like, behind-the-bars sort of shows.
I'm with you 100%.
Talk about the life of...
Everyone is.
Those guys are, like, the ultimate hackers, man. I love the fact that not only are they hacking through life to get things like food and weapons and just to survive, but they're doing it in an atmosphere that is against them doing it. Like, it's actively trying to stop them from these accommodations that they manage to hack themselves. always been fascinated by it. Not fascinated enough where I wanted to be a prisoner, but it just amazes me, you know, to watch these shows and watch how they come up with these, you know, oh yeah, you know, everybody puts all their commissary together and we make burritos. It's like, what? What? You do what?
Yeah.
Or the weapons they come up to. One of the more interesting things I saw was at one prison, the prisoners figured out if they plunged out their toilets and took all the water out of them, they could communicate to each other through the plumbing. And so they would empty out their toilets and they'd have these conversations with other people in other places in the prison that maybe they didn't even know. And occasionally it would be the opposite sex because it was one of these prisons that had, or jails, I don't know what the difference is, but they had males and females hosted in the same building. And so occasionally it would be a male to female conversation. And this is like what these guys live for, you know?
Yeah.
It was amazing. So a news article comes across, and it's something that I had been brewing on in the back of my head for so long. It's like, it's only a matter of time before this sort of thing happens. And what had happened were some inmates at a prison put together a PC, basically from all these spare parts that they had, and they hacked together this PC, hit it up in the ceiling on the network that gave them access to the network. And they were using this PC. And the only reason they got caught is because the third-party security group that they use in the prison changed. And a new company came in. And, of course, you know, they're doing their best. You know, they're staying on top of everything. And they saw this suspicious behavior. Mainly, they saw that a certain security person was logging into the system when they weren't working. And they kind of put it all together. And that was great. I mean, they got caught, whatever. But the fact that the people in prison, and they're getting more technically advanced. And I know I have thought to myself several times, with drones being what they are now, with Pi Zeros being so powerful and so small, how are these things aren't just randomly being dropped in yards all over yeah. prison yards in the U.S. for prisoners to pick up and leverage and start to use?
Now, and what they pulled off this machine was pretty impressive, too.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, these guys knew,
right?
What they were doing. Vulnerability scanners, password recovery hacking tools.
Port scanners.
Now, to bring it back to the PHP world, a copy of PHP BB was installed. So the bulletin board system was installed. So clearly these guys have good taste.
Yeah, I just thought that was cool. Just we're getting prisoners who are technically savvy. A similar story I saw on one of these shows is that, and again, this was in a prison that had males, females, that they figured out they had these terminals that prisoners could go to and send emails from, but it was very restricted. So they had certain people they could send emails to. Emails only went out of the prison, so they couldn't send emails back and forth to other prisoners. They could only send them out. But the prisoners figured out that if they created an email and just saved it as a draft, and then another prisoner logged in with that same login, they basically were exchanging correspondence that way. So that's what this husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend prisoners did. I mean, all strong relationships, you know, you go to prison together. They were in prison together. And so they'd figured this out. And, you know, it was such a simple hack, but it's like, you guys, you're never going to stop this. It's like, you think you can, but you have to bury people in a ground to not have it so they take advantage of technology. They'll always take advantage
of
technology.
You know what I always say.
So that's the fascinating.
You know what I always
thing.
Say about the most secure computer system is what's turned that? Off in a locked room.
Not plugged in.
Yeah. But yeah. Even in this case, yeah. you're talking about people in a prison, found a locked room, built their own computer, turned it on, and put it in the network. So even the best security, yeah, exactly. The absolute best security, will get defeated.
How long do you think it'll be? Well, first thing, it blows me away that they catch prisoners with cell phones. They're catching prisoners with cell phone. How long do you think it's going to be before they actually catch a prisoner with like a Pi or a Pi Zero and doing something malicious with it.
With a Pi Zero, it would be so hard. I mean, a cell phone has some set dimensions to it. The smallest cell phone you can make still has to function. It's going to be 4 inches by 2 inches. At the smallest, it's going to be 3 inches by 2 inches. Or by 1 inch, it's going to be thick. Pi Zero, man, that thing came in a magazine. Like, you're going to be able to hide that anywhere.
And like a lot of these prisoners have radios and televisions. You just put the Pi Zero in the electronic device. Nobody's going to be able to see that and say, oh, yeah, that doesn't belong there. It's not going to
give it a voice interface that doesn't acknowledge that it's a voice interface. So take something like Amazon's Echo and just have it not reply back to you. So you can give it voice commands and it'll send the email or the SMS. It just won't reply or say anything to you until you're in a safe situation. You know, you don't even need a screen. Go headless.
Yeah. So I thought that was a cool story. I'm glad you didn't think I was as weird as I felt I was for kind of liking that whole subject.
No, you know, whenever I go to a bar, it's always 5 TVs with the same football game or whatever it's on. I always get one of the TVs and I have them put on Cops or Wackiest Videos or Prison Life Show. And every single time, that TV gets a crowd around it because everyone loves watching that stuff.
Yeah. And like I said, I enjoy watching it. I don't want to keep watching it from the outside. I don't ever want to be on the other side of that. All right, so we've big time developers. One of the things we go through a lot is coming up with ways to manage reliable development environments. Vagrant became huge. It's huge.
Huge.
It was the best. They were the best. They were huge. Vagrant became really popular as far as creating these virtual machines to do development. There's a real popular site out there that allows you to configure these machines online called Puppet with PHP. I don't know how you guys pronounce it, but it's PHP, but the second P has Puppet in it, or the second P has P. It's Puppet, the second P has PHP, or one of the P's have PHP in it. I forget how it all goes. Anyways, it's a web interface. You click, 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 click. You configure how you want your Vagrant machine configured. You spin it up. Now, you still have a Vagrant machine. Myself, personally, I've been playing around more and more with Docker. And Docker is growing in popularity. A lot of tool sets have been growing around Docker, making it easier to manage, making it easier to spin up. Now, it's in beta, and I haven't had an opportunity to try it myself. I should have before the show started, but I didn't get... There's phpdocker.io, which is very much like the PHP, the Puppet one, whatever. How do you say Puppet. The Puppet one? How would you say?
I don't say it. I think it's Puppet. Awful. I think the name is awful.
Okay, so it's phpdocker.io is the exact same premise. It's the online. You click it through what you want your Docker image to be configured as. At the end of it, you have a Docker. This is a Docker Compose file, I think is what it creates for you. And then you can just do a Docker Compose build on it, Docker Compose up. So I thought that was real good. I'm really liking Docker. I think the tools are just about there. I like Docker, and I need to go back to it. I've gotten lazy. I don't even use Vagrant right now for development. I've really gotten lazy, and I'm using the Valet for development. But I understand that's very limited to – it's very specific to the fact that I'm on a Mac and, you know, some other caveats to it. So I want to get back to exploring Docker. And I was using Docker for a little while, and it had some hiccups I was working through. And I just got lazy and I stopped following up on it and I should do it. So phpdocker.io, if you're into PHP development, if you're into developing Docker images, check out phpdocker.io.
I'm digging this. Nice little interface. Well done.
Yeah, it looks pretty simple. Yeah. And just like I said, just the tool sets around Docker in general are getting better and better. Over the last few months, they just really have gotten, there's just some easy management behind it. I hear everybody rave about Rancher, which is this OS for Docker. And we have a client that had Rancher machines. And I didn't see the benefit of it at the time. And, you know, we did some manipulating and ended up moving off of it. But since then, I've heard the name come up several times. TJ Miller. He was just on North Meets South podcast.
TJ Miller, the comedian?
He's a big Docker guy. It is TJ Miller. He's a great guy. I was on the outskirts of a group at Laricon last year that he was a part of, and he was a very knowledgeable guy. He's kind of quiet. He reached out to me on Twitter, and we struck up conversation, and we're pulling him in on the show for LaraChat Live. But just a great guy, very approachable, very, very smart. I listened to him on his North Meet South podcast with those guys over there, and just a great guy. I mean, way more deeper. He dove deeper into Docker than I think, with a casual sort of conversation behind it, than I've heard to date. So I gotta stop promoting other
podcasts. You do, yeah. You're gonna drive all of our listeners away.
All six of them.
So we're up. We're doing good.
I ordered 50 PHP Ugly stickers. I ordered 50. I don't think we have 50. People who care to
absolutely
have a PHP
Ugly
sticker.
Absolutely, we do.
And now I'm starting to think I didn't order enough because I need to send you some. I've already got people asking me for stickers. I'm like, I don't think I got enough stickers, man. I might have to order some.
We
more
have
stickers.
62 listeners, followers on SoundCloud. Yeah.
Do we really? Kitty is upset.
My kitty is very upset. My wife is in the bathroom and he's not allowed in. I got some general news stuff. We'll zip through this real quick. Laravel 5.5 coming up. Adds support for custom error exception reporting. This is nice. Just nice place to send reports out, stuff like that. If you don't want to pay for services like Bugsnag, then you can sort of build your own with something like this. Handy dandy. Mm-hmm. Moving back on. We talked about our place last week.
I saw this article. I'm like, you love this story.
I do,
man. I do love the story.
You know, last week we talked a lot about the technical elements behind it, and I was talking about how it was interesting socially to see what developed out of it. And the different sort of factions and social behaviors that came from it. And so the next part of their series about this project discusses that specifically, discusses the interpersonal relationships behind the building of this thing. So I thought our listeners who enjoyed last week might enjoy this new article. Throw that up there. Put it on our subreddit. New feature for Blackfire. This is actually last week's news, but I just saw it this week. So Blackfire.io, which is a server-side debugger that communicates with a nice little Chrome or Firefox plugin, really handy tool, and now it does a timeline graph as well as its profiling and debugging graphs. So you can see, you can take a profile and view it over time of the request and see where in the request your slow parts are, and really narrow it down to specifics.
That Blackfire is such a cool tool. I need to start using that again.
It's not free anymore. It used to be free. It had during the beta, you could get it for free.
I don't. Yeah, that's probably why I stopped using it.
The stupid thing of the week.
Sure.
JS to PHP. New project on the NPM hub. Write it in JavaScript. Execute it as PHP. This is just dumb.
So
he knows.
The guy is pretty honest. I mean, He basically said, this is just a proof of concept. I did this just to see that it could be done.
I think he did it just to piss off people. But my favorite part of it is that every time I read it, it's J-S-T-O-P-H-P, which I always read as just stop. Just stop. Just stop.
See, I thought it was going to be, I thought J-S top H-P.
No, I saw that, had to include it. And boy, I think this is one of my favorite things this week.
Which one?
So PowerPoint is now Turing complete.
Why? Okay.
Something about that just tickles me.
It was a cute little presentation. Everybody was laughing pretty hard. The link will be in the show notes, but I don't know what to really say about it. It was just like,
right. So it turns out PowerPoint has just enough feature set to support creating a punch card driven universal machine that is powered completely by PowerPoint animations and can execute arbitrary code. So just when you thought PowerPoint was safe,
I actually never thought PowerPoint.
That makes me laugh so much.
There's one card on here I know you're just biting me at.
Did you go to this URL that I pasted?
No, I did not.
It's HTTPS secure too. I'm gonna send it to you. I'm gonna send it to you real quick.
I know.
Apple.
No, you don't need to send it to me. I'm not clicking on it. I'm not clicking on anything you send me. No, I'm not going there.
XN-80AK6AA92E.com. Yeah, it's a nice little exploit that Firefox at one point said was functioning as intended, and Chrome has said in their newer version it will block, but it basically allows spoofing of domain names so that you can be on something that looks like Apple.com but isn't Apple.com. And
you're on Apple.com under HTTPS.
Yeah.
LS.
So, you know.
So where this comes in, and for anybody listening, if by chance you're listening and you don't see the point of this, imagine that it was Apple.com and it was an order form with, you know, you to put in your credit card information. There'd be no way for you as a consumer looking at that in the browser to realize, hey, this is not really Apple.com, or this is not really a legitimate secure site. I mean, it's crazy. It could be your bank saying you need to reset your password or to give you your password to show you a login to your bank. It's terrifying.
Yeah, I try not to. If I get an email that I need to follow the link on, I try not to click on the link. I try to copy and paste and then manually enter it in some way. Verify that it isn't just going somewhere random that it's not saying.
Yeah. Can you explain how this is happening, Tom?
Yeah, so I remember when this happened a while back when Unicode was first brought in the early 2000s, 99. This was a common problem where you could take a bunch of Unicode characters that looked exactly the same as ASCII characters and spell out something and then get the domain name for it. So, you know, there are a bunch of A letters in the Unicode chart that look just like the ASCII A. You could register apple.com or microsoft.com. Now, if you paste the URL into a TextPad or something like that, then you'll see what it really is. You'll see all the characters and craziness, but because web browsers try to present things as nicely as possible, they'll do the translation in the location bar, will basically just be lying to you.
And that's the big catch, right? It's the fact that URL bar in the browser that you type in doesn't show you the Unicode character. It just shows you what it thinks.
Yeah, it shows you
see.
The pretty picture. I mean, you can put emojis in the URL bar. The URL bar is not just a text input. It is read by the browser and executed upon.
Right. Yep.
So this is
Yep. Big time user input.
This is something
right
called
there,
punny code. because, I mean, like I said, the Unicode stuff got fixed a long time ago, but this is a new variation that just gives even more power to bad people. I don't like the bad people.
All right. We got one more story. You gonna talk about it? Was that your
doom and gloom? This is my doom and gloom.
You were so popular with the doom
and gloom. It hasn't been. I mean, my doom and gloom started early in the podcast, so we're cutting the end doom and gloom shorter.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I kind of realized. I just read that again, and I realized why that's doom and gloom.
That's a huge issue. That's an issue. So, robots.txt. Everyone. In web development knows it. It says to search engines, hey, don't go here. There's nothing here for you. I've always recommended against using robots.txt because the first thing a hacker is going to do is find out where your admin page is by looking at the robots.txt file. It is not security. It is not helpful. It does not do anything other than mask security vulnerabilities.
Well, it's helpful. It's helpful because it's telling us, it doesn't say don't go there, there's nothing there for you. It says, hey, don't index this section of my website for whatever reason. You just don't want it to be indexed. Like you said, a lot of times it's an admin section because you don't want that admin section to show up.
But it's going
to
hide problems. It serves a purpose, but I think it serves the purpose so poorly that it's not actually helpful. I think it does much more harm than good.
Right. There needs to be a better solution. You're absolutely right.
Well, archive.org, which you might know archives the internet, has just stated that they will not be respecting robots.txt files anymore. They're going to archive what they want to archive no matter what you tell them.
Everything. They're going to archive everything they can get to. So,
specifically, they said on U.S. government and military websites, which I found interesting.
Interesting that they said that specifically.
That's where they started it a few months ago. Yeah. But now they're going to cover everything they can find. They're going to save. So, I mean, if you're using robots.txt as a security measure, then don't. And also check archive.org. Maybe there's a copy of your website's back end on it.
All right. Hey, you know, I forgot to share something with you, Thomas. It's been such a busy week for me. I forgot to tell you something. Are you familiar with PHP Women?
I played the fifth.
Boy, I opened myself up. That was way too long of a pause. I realized as I was sitting there waiting for a response, this is a mistake. I should just
it's
stop.
It's too open
right
of a question. You're speaking about a group called PHP Women?
So, I am. I am speaking about the Purple Elephant PHPWomen.org who kind of promote diversity, getting less represented groups into PHP development and recognize. It's called PHP Women, but they're pretty quick to say, you know, we're all inclusive. You don't have to be. It's not limited to women. And I kind of got involved with them over the past
week. Like Bill O'Reilly level involved? Or
yeah.
You owe them money now?
Why does everybody assume that of me? It's only a matter of time before they kick me out of their Slack channel. I realize. So somebody's going to like do an internet search and go, wait a minute. Wait, this is the guy we're talking to?
Now, you and I both have daughters.
Kick him out.
And we're both very interested in promoting women in tech. So,
this is true. Yes. We've gone to Geek Girl events and have set up tables and have talked PHP. It's definitely on our forefront.
Unlike John, who opted to have boys only. Yeah,
he's such a misogynist.
I really couldn't believe him.
I mean, just you know, whatever. I'm gonna have boys.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go play catch.
So selfish.
Whatever.
Anyways, I got involved with the PHP Women group because there's a group here in San Diego that had reached out to us and said, you know, we'd like to set up some training for PHP. And I'm like, man, I remember PHP Women had this great training program set up called PHP Bridge. And I went to PHP Bridge and it was no longer there. I'm like, hey, shoot, that sucks. I was really hoping this would be here because I wanted to share it. So I reach out to PHP Women on Slack. I'm like, hey, you know, what's the status with PHP Bridge? And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's kind of fallen to the wayside. Nobody's really maintaining it. We still have control over it. But so I don't know what I was thinking at the time. But I'm like, hey, I'll do it
for
you.
Oh, my God. So you've obligated so yourself started, to a new task.
Apparently, because you know, I'm not overcommitted enough as it is.
You've lost your mind.
I'll tell you. So I'm like, hey, no, we can host that for you. And then they said, oh, yeah, it's a Rails app. I'm like, wait, what? It's a Rails app? So I'm like, well, we got to convert this over to a PHP build system. So I have the current version of PHP Bridge, which is a fork of Rails Bridge, which is why it's a Rails app. It's up on a web server. They still need to update the DNS. I'm not sure why they're dragging their feet on this, but once they get their DNS updated, the new site will go live and it's there. And then what I shared with them is I'd really like to convert this over to a PHP build system. I was thinking Sculpton at the time. A few other people have suggested Jigsaw, which are, you know, some of these other static generated websites.
Sure.
Through PHP scripts. So I think I'm going to be doing that over the upcoming weeks. If anybody's interested in contributing to a project, you know, I would love some help on that. And then, of course, the idea is to update the material and expand on the material a little bit.
Did you offer to fix any cars too?
So yeah, I committed to yet another thing.
Added car repairs. Yeah. Oh, you got a leak in your roof. You need someone to take care of that? I don't know what is wrong with you. I mean, you're okay. I know what it is. Your girls are 18. Know. You're panicking. 19. You're panicking actually. That they're going to be leaving.
Oh no! I'm ready to kick them out. They're squatters at this point. I'm ready.
They're walking a thin legal boundary right now.
Then another thing for you, brother, and for all our listeners. I know I cross promote a lot. I know I talk about Larry Chat Live a lot. I like Larry Chat Live. I'm on that podcast as well. Tony Lee, who is a San Diego Laravel user group member, joined us on Larry Chat last show, offered to put together an intro trailer to the show. We updated his show with the intro, and it's actually on the intro and outro. So he put together this little trailer to the Lair Chat Live, which we're going to try to start putting on all future shows. It's pretty tight, man. You got to go check it out. I know you don't listen to other podcasts, Thomas, but you got to go to the YouTube channel because it's video, obviously. Go to the YouTube channel and look at the latest Lair Chat Live with Tony Lee. And it has a little intro video that he put together. It's only like 6 seconds long. It's very quick, but it's cool. I love that stuff. I love when people are like, hey, you know what? I do this on the side. You want me to put this together for you? I'm like, yeah, all that's right. Fantastic.
I'll check out your podcast.
My good podcast. The one, you know, people actually, we've had over 10,000 views.
Yeah, this one just has 31.
What's significant? I don't know what we have on PHP.
I know what we have on PHP Ugly on YouTube.
What's our total views?
It's like,
what is it?
5.
I don't think anybody watches. Yeah, I don't think anybody watches the video.
Yeah.
If anybody's interested, there's actually a PHP Ugly YouTube channel where we videotape our podcast when we're recording. And the fun thing about it is we take breaks throughout the podcast. The final podcast that goes out on iTunes and Google Play is an edited version of what happens here. So we have like conversation before we start the actual show. We have conversation after. So if you're into that sort of thing, if it interests you at all, I don't know why it would, but you might want to go watch a couple. I wish I could think of some that were particularly funny, but you know, it's like people were walking in and out of the room behind us. I think maybe today you've seen my new kitten walking in and out of my office all night long. She's walking in and out. But it's fun. We have some additional material. We should just make it available for our Patreons or something.
For Patreons. I tried to set up a Patreon. It did not pan out.
Oh, man. Yeah, this should be an easy recording. This should be easy editing.
Should be
for you, right?
Just the two of us.
All right, Thomas. Well, I think we've had a good show. We typically have good shows when John doesn't join us, but you know, we don't let him know that.
No, and he doesn't listen, so that's okay. We can talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. All right, I think this is going to be it for episode 58 of PHP Ugly. I'm Eric Van Johnson.
I'm Tom Rideout.
Keep it ugly.
Thanks for listening to this episode of PHP Ugly. And a special thanks to our sponsor, Diego Dev Group. If you are looking for developers who care about the code they create, the communities they build, and the solutions they implement, then you want to reach out to the Diego Dev Group. You can find the Diego Dev Group at www.diegodev.com. Links and show notes from this episode of PHP Ugly can be found at www.phpugly.com. You can follow our hosts on Twitter. You can also follow PHP Ugly on Twitter at PHP Ugly. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Play Podcast, or SoundCloud. If you like what you hear, then please leave us a rating on iTunes. Until next week, keep it ugly.